Welcome back to Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. If you think Maryland's spectacular celebration of the bicentennial of the War of 1812 told you all the interesting history of Fort McHenry, think again. A century ago, a century after that war, another armed conflict was starting in Europe, a combat that would grow into the First World War. A hospital at Fort McHenry would care for the American wounded of that war. We get a chance to learn more about the hospital, the fort, and the impact of the war through a collaboration among the Baltimore School for the Arts, the Maryland Historical Society, and the National Park Service, which runs Fort McHenry. Stage production and acting students have been working with theater faculty, researching the period, and the result is three short plays that will be performed at Fort McHenry Saturday and next week. We have a crowd in the studio to tell us about the project. Nora Worthington is the Baltimore School for the Arts resident costumer, the teacher who coordinates this project. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
And with her are two students, Gary Mogi and Greg Parker, both sophomores studying stage production. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Good morning.
Also with us, David Armenti, student research coordinator at the Maryland Historical Society. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Now, David, let me start with you. How did a World War I hospital come to be built at Fort McHenry?
Well, it had previously been, even after the War of 1812 period, it had been a Civil War installation as well. But at that point during World War I, they just found the site, and the U.S. Army decided to set up shop there because there was a lot of space. It was a nice central location, and there was already some semblance of infrastructure there.
So was it a main hospital for American wounded coming back from the front?
Yep, just established in 1917. So there was not a whole lot going on there before the war. But yes, once the war got started and they relocated there, it became a very major installation and ultimately one of the largest hospitals there during the conflict.
How many soldiers did it serve?
There were roughly 3,500 patients, that's the number that I've heard, who were ultimately served there over about a 4 or 5 year period.
What do we know about these patients? I understand you've been researching the period. I don't know whether you have a sense of how badly wounded these soldiers were, what their problems were. Greg Parker?
Our characters are badly wounded, and our scenes are about reconstruction, emotionally and physically, and getting reintegrated back into society. So our characters are injured both physically and emotionally.
And is that historically accurate?
Yes. So as Greg was referring to, we got a chance to look at some documents. These might be oral history interviews of people who had family members who were there. They might be newspaper articles with people recounting their experiences on the war front. But some of the most powerful primary sources that we were exposed to, many of which are in the Historical Society archive, were these photographs that were actually taken of men who were going through facial reconstructive surgery. So this is one of the more interesting sides of the story of what was going on at Fort McHenry. They were really pioneering these techniques for, again, really remaking these men and making them feel whole again. So that's a big theme within our scenes, is looking at, like you said, not only the physical rehabilitation, but also the need to build the men back up psychologically to the point where they could participate in society again without any shame or embarrassment.
Gary, what struck you most about the research?
What really moved me personally was looking at, we have a lot of photographs. The whole hospital was documented very well with photography. And we found pictures of wounded soldiers documenting facial structures, the way that they had been burned and the gas had gotten on their face. And one of the quotes in one of our scenes is that one a soldier who's had a injured face says he can't recognize himself when he looks in the mirror. And it's just really moving, the way that you can see what these people were going through.
Nora, we've moved almost instinctively into talking about breathing characters from the pages of research. Tell us something about this collaboration. How does it work?
Well, the sophomore production students begin very early in the school year in September, going to the Maryland Historical Society. They also did some field trips with the acting students in partnership. We visited War Memorial Building and looked at the artifacts that were there. And we also were able to visit Fort McHenry and walk the grounds and see the few remnants that remain of this time period. And our goal in the theater department at the Baltimore School for the Arts has always been to find empathy, whether it's in a historical theater piece or a modern theater piece. Our goal is really to be able to empathize with other people. So this is a way of empathizing with people from the past and seeing how much their lives actually resemble our lives today.
One of the things I think a lot of us think we know about World War I is shell shock, is soldiers returning from battle with sort of mentally disoriented. Was that something that came up in your research? Is that something that shows up in your plays?
Yes, we have, I'm pretty sure, two characters in the first scene at the battlefront. One of them is definitely shell-shocked, and the second character, he's kind of, I want to say, loopy from the morphine that he's getting for the treatment for his facial wound. And shell shock is something that kind of affects you at the battlefront, but then affects you long, long, long after at the hospital. And we somewhat touch on that in the second scene. I'm not sure that the character in the second scene is shell shocked, but he's definitely mentally scarred and emotionally scarred from what he saw and what he experienced at the battlefront.
Is there a connection to what soldiers are experiencing now?
Yes. They go through the same things. This was the beginning of the military starting to realize that after the war, they had to really try to rehabilitate these people. And they really started recognizing that shell shock was a real thing, and what it brings us to what's going on now with soldiers coming from wars in the Middle East, where they have treatments for their post-traumatic stress disorder, and the same struggles that they're going through now, from not being able to sleep at night and having just these memories that come back to them. It's just a direct connection to what the soldiers in World War I would have been going through.
On WIPR, this is Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cass, speaking with Nora Worthington, the Baltimore School for the Arts resident costumer and coordinator of the collaboration among the BSA, the Maryland Historical Society, and the National Park Service. Two students are here with us, Gary Mogi and Greg Parker, sophomores studying stage production, and David Armenti, student research coordinator at the Maryland Historical Society. Greg Parker, what did you know about World War I before this project?
I knew the basics, that it was a war that took place overseas with a bunch of different countries allying together and going against each other, but I didn't really know what happened here. I didn't know that Fort McHenry was a hospital at all. Like, I had been to Fort McHenry probably 10 times, and I'd never once heard of it as a hospital.
Gary Mogi, how has this project changed your perception of World War I?
Well, from what I knew before, it was so distant from what we think about now. And I knew what had happened in Europe, the conflicts, that kind of thing, but I had no idea about the kind of impact that it had here. I had no idea about the kind of things that were going on at home, on the home front. Like, for example, I had never heard of the flu epidemic of 1918 before. But then we did a lot of research on that, and that was really something that impacted people's lives, that especially in Baltimore, which makes it that much closer.
How does all this fascinating research that you did turn into plays?
We have three faculty playwrights, and one of the wonderful steps in the process is when the students create characters. Our researching students, knowing the acting ensemble, think about what kind of people those actors would best be able to portray in these times, in these circumstances. And they cast those actors, and we create situations that those characters might find themselves in. For example, we think that Ifeteo might make a wonderful reconstruction aide, and she might be able to interact with Riley, who is a soldier's mother. What happens if we put those characters in a situation at the hospital? That information is given to the playwrights, and the plays are written to order.
Can you give us a synopsis of these three plays?
Sure. Well, the three scripts are broken into one at the battlefield, called Facing Battle, one at the hospital, Facing the Mask, where a soldier first encounters a prosthetic mask that will help him reintegrate into society. And the third script is about Facing the Future, where several soldiers who've returned, one of whom is blind, is returning to a social dance situation and interacting with a young colored girl who's a maid and doesn't realize that he's talking with someone of a different race. So he's literally colorblind. Certainly facing racism during the war as a soldier, then returning home, the reintegration into society for our black soldiers, that was an issue as well. So the first scene, Facing Battle, is about two soldiers and a nurse and a medic who are trying to cope with the immediate effects of injuries, also at a time when there are racial divisions in terms of the way people may be treated in an emergency situation.
So you've put all this effort into capturing history, and what you're producing is something fairly ephemeral. These plays are going to be performed a few times at Fort McHenry and once at the Maryland Historical Society, and then they're gone, right?
We do a remount in the fall. We do a remount in the fall. But that's the nature of theater. You know, the nature of theater is that it exists, it happens, and very much like the hospital itself, it emerges, it meets a need, hopefully it impacts you and changes your life, but then it is gone. In the same way the hospital, of over 100 buildings, only one that's slightly off of the grounds of the fort, only one really remains, and yet it impacted so many lives. Hopefully the kinds of stories that we bring to light have that same kind of important, even though short, impact.
I really appreciate you all talking to us. Thank you.
Thanks for having
Thank
us.
You. Sure. Thank you, Sheila.
Gary Mogi and Greg Parker are both sophomores at the Baltimore School for the Arts, studying stage production. David Armenti is student research coordinator at the Maryland Historical Society, and Nora Worthington is the Baltimore School for the Arts resident costumer. She coordinates this project. All three short plays will be performed at Fort McHenry Saturday at 2 p.m. and next Monday and Tuesday at 10 a.m. A week from Saturday at 2 p.m., they'll be presented at the Maryland Historical Society. All performances are free. We've got more information at our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cass. There's more ahead. Stay with us on 88.1.
It's a long way to Tipperary, till the sweetest girl.